Romans chapter 6. We'll have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you praise and glory for an absolutely beautiful day that we have today, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for the sunshine in our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, even though there's a lot of clouds and darkness and the week has gone past, and we had a lot of rain and things, but dear Heavenly Father, sometimes the spiritual avenue is the same way. And dear Lord, we're thankful that in the dark times, in the cloudy times, in the windy times, in the rainy times, spiritually, dear Heavenly Father, we can still have that sunshine. Dear Lord, there's still a sun, a physical sun, shining above those clouds, dear Lord, and gives us light. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask you to be with us as we look into the Word of God this morning. We ask you to anoint each and every one of the hearers, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to help me to deliver it as you would have me to, dear Lord, as you've presented it to me. And that Heavenly Father will receive a real blessing to our soul, and we'll certainly thank you for that. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the verse we're going to read, Paul says here, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." As I mentioned, as Sister Ann sang that song, and then I had the song that I sang, and I was thinking about my message here this morning. Paul says that the Word of God teaches us there is a reward at the end of life. Now, we're going to look at the second part of this verse, but just to recognize the first part of it, there's a reward in this world, or in the world to come, because of what we lived in this world. He says the first part, "For the wages of sin is death." There is a reward. It's not a reward that we may expect to think of when we think of a reward, but if you don't live for the Lord, if you don't serve God, you will be rewarded for that, but it's not going to be a pleasant one. But I want to look at the second part here, what Paul says, and that's my thought for this morning. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God. You ever given anybody a gift before? And we have. But sometimes there are certain people in our lives that are maybe a little special, maybe a special event. And you know what? You want to get them something really nice. You want to give them something that you just favor them and appreciate them. And I thought about this even this morning as looking at the gift of God. What gift could God give to you and I that is so precious to Him that He desires for us to have it in a great way? Now, I only asked you this morning to help to stay with my thoughts, because I'm going to get into some thoughts here that even challenged me. And I never, when I started out, a lot of times when I start out my message, I didn't really know where I was going to go with it all. But Lord, just blessed my heart as I went through this message. But think about God Himself. He wants to give you something that is the most precious thing to Him. It's the gift of life. Eternal life. Life everlasting. You know, I preached a message last week. I think it was last week or a week before. And it was the title? "The Simplicity of a Mighty God." And, you know, that thought blessed my heart and encouraged me. And I want to tell you where this message came from. So yesterday, kind of not a whole lot I had going on. I always look for stuff. So late in the evening, I wanted to get my truck cleaned up and get it washed in case I take Brother Tim and Sister Jody somewhere in my vehicle or whatever. And I wanted to wash it up. And I wash it up. And when I wash it, I do the tires and I wipe all the I open all the doors and clean the hinges and out and the door frames and all that. And it looks good when I'm done. But earlier in this week, I came here and I put Wednesday night service together and thinking of what am I going to bring Sunday. And so Tuesday came, Wednesday came, I didn't have any thoughts, and Thursday came, and all day Thursday at work, I'm kind of thinking, I need a message, Lord. I need a thought for Sunday morning service. Nothing. So Friday came, and all day Friday at work and things, and I even look on the computer a little bit, look through Luke Bible Gateway and some of the daily readings and things. Nothing. I couldn't get nothing. So I leave work Friday intending to come here, and I'm thinking, Lord, I have not a thing in my mind. Nothing in my mind. What do I bring? The simplicity sometimes. I go to get in my truck and open my truck door and notice that the mat, it was dirty. It was really dirty. There's stones in there and mud in there and stuff in there. And I thought, I really need to get my truck clean. I need to get it, especially for the weekend coming up this weekend. And if I can't get a chance to wash it this weekend. But my mind thought, as I got in the truck and I'm headed over here, my mind thought, you know, I'm going to take some time and maybe an hour, hour and a half, maybe two at the very most to clean my truck up. But you know what's going to happen in a couple days, especially now with all the piling? It's going to get dirty again. And God bless me with this thought. It won't be that way in eternity. And that was my thought, eternity. One day, by the grace of God, we're going to experience eternal life. Because of the gift that God wants to give to you and I. But the gift of God is eternal life. I want us to consider the thought this morning of eternal. Everlasting life. Eternity. And that was the word that I felt the Lord gave to me, eternity. So when I got here, I typed in eternity into Bible Gateway and it come up one time. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Eternity's only one time. I think it's over there in Isaiah. I think it is. I think I'll read that a little bit later in the message. One time, of course, eternal, life everlasting is mentioned many times. So I was sort of on a challenging part. But the thought of God's gift is eternal life. The word eternal means lasting or existing forever without an end or a beginning. Eternal. Lasting or existing forever without an end or a beginning. We know that the Bible teaches us that there is no beginning or there is no end to God. We can't comprehend that. There's no beginning. He's always been. You can keep your finger here, but I'm going to run over here to Psalms chapter 90 real quick. And in Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the worlds, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." There is no beginning. There is no end of God. All things in our lives, everything that we know, everything that we see, we feel, we touch, we understand, all things have a beginning. But God doesn't have a beginning. And we really, and as I started working on this message, and I want you to try to stay with me here just a little bit with the next couple of thoughts here, we cannot comprehend that He has always been. As I sat and I studied this and I pondered that thought, and I want you to think about that a little bit right now. He has always been. There has never been a beginning. We cannot comprehend that. Everything we know has a beginning of something. God has always been there. And I thought, has there ever been, and there again, we only have our weak minds, has there ever been a time where God, since God has always been, there has never been a beginning, there has never been an end to God, since He's always been, has He ever been alone? I mean, I just try to think about it, and I pondered it. So if I take this, and this represents God, okay? Where do the angels come from? God created them. Now, there again, as I pondered this thought, and I want you to stay with me because we're going to get into the thought of eternal life. And we can't even comprehend, but understand, God has always been. There's never been a beginning. Everything has had a beginning. Because God created everything, all things. So in my mind, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, well, God, have you ever been sitting there just nothing? I want to make some angels. I want to make some angels to rejoice. I want to make some this. What was with God in the beginning? Nothing. And I know we can never answer that question, and I don't know if we'll ever even be able to comprehend that when we make heaven our home. I don't know if we even will care about that in a sense. But to ponder it. God has always been. There has never been any beginning. From a million years out that way, and that way, and that way, and that way, and bazillions of years, God has always been. And somewhere way down the road, God created the earth. But in between now and that particular time, he's been. What has he been doing? What's he been doing for the bazillions and bazillions and bazillions? And I know year and time doesn't exist with God. When I sat and pondered that for a little bit, I'll be honest with you. It challenged my faith. I thought about it for a little bit. And the devil snuck in there a little bit. He says, you're really sure there's a God? Because that's almost impossible. Thank God I'm able to cast that out. And by faith, on the Lord. Well, devil, I don't know about all these things, but by faith, I believe what I just said to you. And the only way you can understand it or believe it is by faith to believe that God has always been. From everlasting to everlasting, we read over there in Psalms chapter 90, verse 2. From everlasting to everlasting, God has always been there. Always. When we look around, everything we have, everything we understand has a beginning. Everything. Everything. Every single person that has ever been born, from Adam and Eve to the last person that will ever live in this life, has a beginning. It has a birthday. Except for one person. The Bible says a man named Melchizedek. And I can't explain that or understand that. But you can go over there and read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. It says that Melchizedek, he had no father, he had no mother. He had no time of birth, no beginning, no start, no end. He just was there. But that's a special situation. But every person, every animal, everything we see, I was thinking of the walls of this building were built back in 1930s and on, and they've been here that long. They've had a beginning. You see what's coming in through them windows? What's coming in through them windows? Light. Light had a beginning. It hasn't always been there. God said one day back in the time of the beginning, he said, let there be light, and there was light. You know what else didn't have a beginning, or had a beginning?
Darkness.
Darkness was not always there, because the Bible says that in God is no darkness, and he is light. So there is no darkness in God. God had to create a light for man, and he also had to create darkness. Back in the first couple chapters, or there in Genesis chapter 1, he said God created the light, and then he created a different light, which was the moon, and he created darkness to separate the day and the night. He had to create these things. Back over Isaiah chapter 57. You can again stay here if you want to. But in Isaiah chapter 57, in verse 15, I just want the first part here, this verse. For thus said the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. God, He inhabits eternity. Comprehend, understand eternal. A lasting or existing forever without a beginning or an end, and God inhabits that place. God. He inhabits eternity. He, God, inhabits eternity because He is eternal. And Paul says here in Romans 6 and 23, God's gift to us is to inherit an eternal eternity and to dwell with Him an everlasting life. That's what God desires for us to have. God has enjoyed or has been a blessing. He is eternal. He is everlasting life. And His gift, His desire, His longing is to give those that love Him and serve Him eternal life with Him forever. What a blessing. What a blessing. The greatest gift that God can give to us is to us to enjoy the part of what He is, eternal. From all eternity. We had a beginning. Every one of us have a beginning. And Paul says, if we are in Christ, we won't see death, but have a part of God's eternal, everlasting life. So this morning I asked you a question, what are you in search of? What are you in search of? You say, well, I'm living for the Lord, but why are you living for the Lord? Because I want to receive the gift that God has for us, which is everlasting life. As we cannot comprehend and understand that God is eternal, and as I tried to draw that little picture, that God has always been, God has from the very, there is no beginning of Him, from the very time we know of, God has always been there. We cannot comprehend that. We cannot even concede to begin to understand there has never been a beginning of God. But we also, when we really think about it, because we will have a beginning in heaven one day when we leave this old world and we make heaven home, that will be the first day for us in heaven. But the Bible lets us know that we will exist in eternity forever. There will be no end. There will be no closing. There will not be an amount of set of time, a grade or whatever. There will be no end to our spiritual soul. Eternal. With God Himself. As difficult as it is to comprehend that God has never had a beginning, I believe if we really think about it, it is as equally hard to comprehend everlasting life. See, many times we preach and we think, thank God, I'm going to live for all eternity. But think about that also. But think about that. There's never an end. There's never an end in heaven. There's never an end to His glory. There's never an end to His peace, His joy. There's never an end to that for all eternity. And we cannot understand that. We all have a time. We all live under the clock, under this calendar. We all have a birthday that we were born. One day, when we leave this old world, they'll put a tombstone in front on the ground. And in front of that tombstone, there will be two dates there. It will be the day that you were born and the day that you died. The day that you came into this earth and the day that you left. But that day that you left starts the day of eternity. And there shall be no end to that by the grace of God. God says, my gift to you is eternal life. Are we seeking for that? Not only are we seeking for it, by the grace of God, we don't want to miss it. Because Paul says here, for the wages of sin is death. We're going to read another scripture a little bit later on here. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, that doesn't come cheap. You know, I know a lot of times when we think about gifts that are given, you know, our children can make something that's priceless. Didn't cost a dime hardly for them to make. You can remember when they put their hand on a piece of paper and maybe drew that and painted that hand when they were little, about that big. Put a footstep. I've seen some videos where the parents have a paper laid out on the floor.
and they put their child, that little baby, they can't even barely walk, really. All they can do is just step. They got to put their feet in some ink and let them walk across it, and then they frame that. Precious. Those things are priceless that we can't have. But you know what? God paid a wonderful, great price for you and I to experience eternal life. He paid the ultimate price. And too many people are taking it casually. Hey, I'll go to heaven. I plan on going to heaven. It upsets me tremendously when I have friends of mine, they say, I plan on going to heaven. Why, they have alcohol or beer, or they're half drunk. Well, I'm going to heaven. Casually thinking they're going to heaven. It's going to cost us something to receive this wonderful gift that God has for us of eternal life. What are you seeking this morning? People that have some faith, they believe in something after death. People have a little bit of faith, they believe that there's something after death. But what are they seeking? What are they seeking? Many times people are, the Bible tells us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. You know, there are people in the thought that that's what their desire is. I want to lay treasures up in heaven. I want to have a reward. I want to have a monetary reward or physical or blessings or things. I want to have a physical reward, something that's tangible to my being, and that's what they're looking at. Walking the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all these things. But God says, Paul says here, and Romans here, he says, God's gift is eternal life. See, Jesus never really told us much about heaven. Because I don't think he could comprehend, I don't think he could help us. You know, what he did tell the disciples and the people there, they didn't understand that things, and they were just the basic things of life. There is no way he could tell us about the greatness of heaven for us to comprehend it, because we can't. We're in this human flesh. We're in this human shell. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Jesus is giving a story here. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, there were other people in the Bible that asked that question also. In the same book here in chapter 18, over there in verse 18, was the rich young ruler. He also came to Jesus and he also asked the same question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Do you have a desire to inherit eternal life? Do you have an understanding what that really means? What a life of no ending. Sister had talked about as she getting old and things like that, and how the body is affected. We won't be affected by the human body ever again. Pick the best time of your life whenever you are strong and healthy, and you will be that way for all eternity. All eternity, forever, for everlasting. You will have strength and happiness and joy and peace and glory. All these things. And like I said, we just can't fathom that thought forever and ever. There is no time involved.
Praise God.
This God that inherits, that inhabits eternity, and his desire is for you and I to enjoy his blessings. This lawyer asked him, he said, Lord, he said, how can I inherit? Now he said a little bit different words there. He said it to tempt him. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, I wish we had more people in our world today who could ask that very question. Number one, to recognize I'm going to miss eternity. I'm going to miss the life of joy. I'm going to miss all eternity and the joys that it has for us. People don't recognize that. People are living in life with a hope. You know, there are most people, I would say a greater majority of people in the world, they have a hope that they're going to make heaven. But they're not doing anything to make heaven. It is living. But they compare themselves, well, that person over there was a bad person. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a child molester. He was this. He was all these things. I'm not any of those things. I'm a good person. Well, the rich young ruler, you go over there in chapter 18 of this same book in Luke, verse 18, the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. He was a good person. Jesus told him, he says, what you must do to inherit eternal life, you know, keep the commandments, honor your father and your mother, all these things. The man said to Jesus, I've done all these things from my youth up. What else do I need to do? Jesus knew he was rich. He said, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. The man went away in sorrow because he had great possessions. What do we have that we are holding on to that God may say, I need you to surrender that to enjoy eternal life? What do we have? Is everything in your life, you recognize everything in your life, you're willing to lay it on the altar, Lord, here it is, that I may receive eternal life. We have one shot to get there, one. There's not going to be a redo. There's not going to be a lawyer standing there before us and talking to Jesus and say, well, you know, he had a hard time, a difficult time. He was raised by a difficult family, and he was abandoned. He was this. He was an orphan. All these things. We have one opportunity to make heaven our home. And if we miss it, if we miss eternal life, we will never, ever get another chance, ever, ever, to get another opportunity to receive that gift that God has for us. It should put a fear within our hearts. Lord, I want to serve you. Let's go to John chapter 3. Very famous verse of scripture. In verse 16, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? But have everlasting life. He didn't say have riches. He didn't say have jewels. He didn't say have power. He didn't say have wealth. He didn't say have anything. He said to have everlasting life. So when we think about it, all that I brought to you before about I hope you consider that a little bit. God has always been. There's just try to comprehend that very thought that there has. When I sat and I put that together and I thought, and I just sat there and I pondered that. There has never been a beginning. How is that possible? I don't know, only by faith. And like I said, it kind of amused me. I'm like, and I even said that to the Lord. I said, you know, I know he wasn't. Lord, were you sitting there one day with nothing to do? There's nothing around me. There's nothing nowhere. There's nothing, you know. I don't understand. I can't comprehend that. And as wonderful and as marvelous as I try to understand that and the glory of God, eternity is just as glorified. We're going to be a part of that one day. If we die in the faith, God says, my gift to you is that you can serve, you can live with me for all eternity in this portion that I am in. He says here in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, when someone is sentenced in our life, in our time, in this crime, a life sentence is 25 years. If you ever hear anybody there in court and they said you are going to serve one life sentence, especially in Maryland, I don't know if there's other ones there, but I looked that up. That means you're going to serve 25 years. If someone is convicted and they serve three life sentences, that's 75 years. Well, there is no ending with God. God doesn't say when we make heaven our home, you get to inherit life. Well, that's only 25 years in this world. God says there is no end there. There is no end. There is no end of great peace and joy and happiness. And no devil, thank God. No devil to deal with. No things, no wickedness of the world. No doubts. In verse 36, the same chapter, John 3 and 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth, now look at this verse of scripture, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you serving him? Are you living for him? Are you loving him? He that believeth on Jesus Christ hath everlasting life is applied to him. But he that believeth not, I shall not see life. I want to see life.
Yes, amen.
I want to experience life one day. I want to experience everlasting life. I want to thank God that I'll shed this shell of a body and get rid of all the problems this body had and receive everlasting life with Jesus Christ. I've said this many a times. As people say, what do you expect when you get to heaven? I don't even consider it. I don't even think about it because I don't think our minds can even comprehend what the glory of heaven has. The only thing that I have ever seen, one of the desired, I want to see the throne, the glory of God. That's what I want to see. I want to see what Moses desired to see one time. Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And God told him, you can't and live. By the grace of God, we'll have a new body. I want to see the throne and the glory of God. Anything else? I don't know. But I know it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. He that believeth on Jesus Christ hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, you won't see life. And you won't get another opportunity. What is life? The Bible says there was a man named Seth in the Bible. He was the third son of Adam and Eve. He lived 912 years. We cannot even comprehend that. Sister Ann made a comment. She goes, I don't know how long I got. Well, none of us do. God only gives us 70, 80 years of reason, strength, and health. Some people go, my wife's uncle is just turned 102. I guarantee he ain't getting too many more of them. I don't know how many more of them he gets. He's way on borrowed time. 912 years. I don't know. Some people say, well, time was different then. I don't know. God allowed him to live that long. God allowed him to live for 912 years. His father, Abraham, he lived a little bit longer. He lived 930 years. Noah went on to live 950 years. And Methuselah, the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years. Can't understand that. But even at 969 years, it'll be that much in glory. It'll be gone. The Bible says, God says, one day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. And I don't believe he said that just to relate time in a sense, because time doesn't exist with him. But imagine that. One day, the day that we live, when we recognize from 12 o'clock last night to 12 o'clock tonight, we've lived 1,000 years. Just like that. That's the way heaven will be. And I don't believe time will exist. I don't believe we'll recognize time. I don't believe I'll walk up to Brother Danny and say, Brother Danny, how long have we been here? I think we've been here about 200 years now. That won't exist. Time won't exist. Just we will. With God through eternity. Song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise as when we first begun. You know, these bodies get tired. We couldn't stay here 3 or 4 or 5 hours. All of us would be wore out. But from the very first day to 10,000 years later, we will have energy and strength and glory and giving him praise and enjoying the glories of God for all eternity. God says, I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you. It's the most precious thing that God can give to us if we stay true and accept his Son, Jesus Christ. It is eternal
life. Only God can understand the glory of that, because he has always been. And God says, I want you to be a part of my eternal glory and eternal life. One of us in this room will enjoy that soon. I don't know when. Could be me, could be you. But I'm not talking about out there in the world. I'm talking about right here in this room. Comprehend that thought. One of us in this room is getting ready to step into eternity and accept and receive the joy that God has for us. Eternal life. I mentioned that sometimes. I've said that to some of the saints over the years. I remember saying this to Brother Frank one time. I said, Brother Frank, what does it feel like to be standing right here at the edge of eternity? Right here, it's ready. You know, when some of the, Sister Melanie and her family back here, I remember when I was that age, you're way over here. That's not even a thought in your mind. You're looking at tomorrow and next week and whatever. We realize that God could take us. But you know, when you've lived a while and you're in your 70s and 80s and pushing that, and you're standing at the threshold of time for us as the end, I say, Lord, help us to be excited about that. Yes. I'm getting ready to experience something wonderful. You know, the disciples, after Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended back up into heaven, The disciples were welcoming death. Why? Because they realized, I'm going to go be with Jesus. Amen. I'm going to get rid of this old world, the problems, the heartaches, the troubles, the burdens of the enemy, all these things. I'm going to go be with Jesus one day. The gift of God is eternal life. I won't have to worry about washing clothes, buying clothes, washing my car, keeping my car clean. I don't know what exists in heaven, but I don't believe those things will. I won't have to worry about fixing a light bulb, fixing something that's broken. I won't have to worry about any of that. All the things, the cares of this world will be gone. And God says, I want you to inherit eternal life. Is that what you're seeking this morning? Or are you looking over there and saying, I hope to get that one day? By the grace of God, we only have one shot. We have one opportunity to make it. One. You know, we all went to school. They gave us a passing grade. There were some parameters they gave us. You know, 100% to maybe 70%. Some places were 80%. You had that percentage. You fell in there. God says, I need 100% of you to enjoy this gift that I have for you. How are we doing? I ask you to ask the Lord to help you to comprehend what you're going to receive or what you might miss by the grace of God. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 140. 140. Dwell the apart, speak in salt. tenderly give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, said our Savior, amen. Calling him mercy again. Turn now from sin and from evil depart. Oh, have I not died for thee? Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Ever softly whisper, ever the Lord. From his love room, he would draw thee apart. Speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, say the Spirit divine. Oh, that thou hast to my keeping resigned. Grace for abounding is mine to him. May for surrender and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Never three whisper with ever the Lord. From this dark room, he will draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly.